We've been talking about the vision of our church. You know, sometimes I hesitate calling it the vision of our church because it's really not something that we just put on the back of the bulletin. It is on the back of the bulletin, but you know, I believe that the vision of our church is really describing who we are as people. We are the church, and it's not just something we talk about. It's something that we're attaining to do, something that we're that describes who we are. And we said that there are three words that really describe us as a people, as a church. People that reach out, reach, grow, and love. People who reach out to the hurting and the lost. Do you care about hurting people? Do you care about lost people? Yeah, that's who we are. That's who we are. So when we see this a little symbol on the back of our bulletin, it's supposed to remind us, oh yeah, we care about hurting people. We care about lost people. Also, we're people that are interested in growing spiritually because we know that when we develop ourselves spiritually, we'll be of more use to God. How many of you want to be more useful to God? You know, the more you know, the more he can use you. You increase your capacity to be used by God. So spiritual growth is important in our life. And then certainly love. That's supposed to remind us that we love God. Anybody love God? We love God and we love others. And that's who we are. This is describing who we are as a church. And this is the vision of our church. So today we're going to take a look again at the aspect of growing spiritually. Why we should be caring about spiritual growth. You know, I believe that your life flows from your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live inside of a body. This body is not the real you. Your spirit man is the real you. When you got born again, your spirit man became new, became like God. And so we want to make sure that we're developing that spirit man. Let's just take a moment to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come again to hear your word. Father, we pray that you'd open up our ears and our hearts, that we would hear and understand your word, that you'd take off the blinders, that you would just give us revelation knowledge of your word. Father, bring us higher, bring us deeper. Father, just show us things that we didn't see before. Father, we're just anticipating you speaking into our lives this morning. Father, as we've come to hear the word, we know that the teacher, the Holy Spirit, will speak to each of us this morning concerning things in our own personal life. And Father, we'll be quick to act upon it when he tells us to do something. Lord, we thank you that we are going to be transformed this morning by the hearing of your word. And we just give it our full attention. We set aside the cares of this life for this time. And we ask you, Lord, to show us things from your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 You know, the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20, it tells us that if you keep your heart with all diligence, we should keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's out of your heart or your spirit man that your life will flow from. And that's an important thing. So we started talking last week that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. You have to strengthen your spirit man. You have to strengthen your spirit man because it's from your spirit man that life will flow from. If we could just understand that concept, that life flows from our spirit man. So if our spirit man is not in good condition, it's difficult to have that life to flow freely. We need to condition our spirit man. We need to train our spirit man. We need to help him to grow so that we can be strong spiritually. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you pursue the things of God, the things of the Spirit. So what is it and where do we begin? Let's turn to 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy, his spiritual son. In chapter 4, it says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith. Say, nourished in the words of faith. What does that say? Nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of this life that now is and that which is to come. So the spirit, the spiritual is much like the natural. That's what Paul was getting across to Timothy here. He says that as you grow spiritually, it's much like we grow naturally. We grow up naturally. We don't all stay in, we're not all babies. We don't wear diapers. We don't walk around with pacifiers. We grow up. We grow up. And two major keys to develop ourselves spiritually here is nourishment and exercise. That they were nourished in the words of faith and exercise toward godliness. We know that the Bible says over in Matthew that man does not live by bread alone, that we are to live by the Word of God, right? The Word of God is our nourishment. It's food to our spirit man, as natural food is food to our body. Your spirit needs to be fed the Word of God. You need to feed your faith. Feed your faith. You have to feed yourself. Sometimes people don't understand this concept. You have to feed your spirit man. That's one of the reasons you're here this morning. You're getting fed spiritually. But, you know, I can't give you enough food to last you the whole week. You have to feed yourself on a regular basis. You think about it. If I was up here this morning cooking you a hot breakfast, I was making some omelets and some pancakes and some bacon, and I put it in front of you, and you eat a nice hot meal and enjoy it, that wouldn't be enough to sustain you until next Sunday. You have to feed yourself. You have to feed yourself. You have to feed yourself naturally, and you have to feed yourself spiritually. Over in Acts, the 20th chapter, it says in verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to do the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Did you know that you can hear the word of God and not be nourished? Just like I can prepare a table in front of you and put piping hot food in front of you and place it in front of you, and you don't have to eat it. Well, you can hear the word of God and not be nourished. The word of God has to be given with faith. It has to be given with grace. And some will take the Bible and minister guilt and condemnation. And that's why people can be in church for decades and never grow spiritually. We see over in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." What is the Bible saying? It says that some heard the word of God, but it didn't profit them. They heard the same word that other people heard that benefited from it, but some heard it and it didn't help them. It didn't profit them. It didn't build them up. It didn't nourish them because they didn't mix it with faith. If you've been around here long enough, you know that the word faith also means the word belief. Those words are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And sometimes we get a better understanding if we use the word believe instead of faith, because some of us have the idea that faith is some spiritual concept that's difficult to obtain. But we all know if we believe something or not. When you believe the word of God, when you believe the word of God, it benefits you. It nourishes you. It builds you up. It strengthens you. And so we have to take, when we hear the word of God, we have to believe it. That's what the Bible's saying. You have to believe the word of God. People can constantly hear the word of God, and if they don't believe it, their heart can even become hardened toward God. They can even become bitter towards God because they've heard truth and refused to believe it. People that hear the word of God and don't believe it are like the ones who say things like this: "Why is God not helping me? Why is God doing this to me?" They think that everything in life is up to God and have not looked at their own responsibilities, that they have to believe what God said. Do we not have to believe what he said? We do. That's what we're called, believers. What do believers do? They believe. That's the point. We're supposed to be believers. When you hear that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you need to say, I believe that. Glory to God, I believe that. I receive that into my life. He paid the price for my sins. My sins are washed away because of the blood of Jesus. I believe that. I'm a believer. I believe that. Now I'm benefiting from what I'm believing. I'm benefiting from what I'm believing. Nourished in the words of faith. And also, I believe that the word, also the word of his grace. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It doesn't just happen because you are saved. It doesn't happen just because time has passed. You know, Paul speaking to believers about their spiritual state over in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, he talks about this very issue. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. What is Paul saying? That by this point in their walk with God, they should be teachers. They should be growing, maturing in the things of God. But Paul said, you are not. And as a matter of fact, we have to go back and teach you or reteach you the oracles of God, the very simple principles of salvation. And so for everyone, he goes on to say, for everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We're supposed to grow up spiritually. We're supposed to develop ourselves so that we can understand the words of righteousness. Should these people have been further along than they were? Yes, Paul thought so. That's why he said that. Some people do not develop and mature spiritually like they should. Just because you've been saved a long time or you've went to church for a long time doesn't mean that you're developing your spirit man. There are people who live their lives in church and their spirit man is not strong. Their spirit man is not developed because they have not truly engaged and believed and taken hold of the Word of God. Again, it has to be the Word of God taught in faith and by grace. Let's look at a teaching from Jesus. Here's another example. A teaching from the Master himself. Jesus taught a sermon over in the book of John. It's recorded in the book of John. The 6th chapter, this is probably Jesus' most unpopular sermon. How would you like to be known for your most unpopular sermon? This is Jesus right here. This is his most unpopular sermon. It says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is teaching the masses here, and he says, listen, guys, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And just like that, there was a hush over the crowd. And listen to the response of the people. Therefore, in verse 60, therefore many, say many. Amen. How many? Many of his disciples. What are disciples? People that were following his ministry. People that were following him. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? They were probably thinking, yeah, this is pretty weird. But if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. He said, the words that I speak to you our spirit and life. What is he saying? He's not talking about cannibalism. Thank God. He is saying to you, you need to feed your spirit man on him. His words are spirit. They are life. His words are spirit and life. The words that I speak are life. He was saying, you need to feed yourself on my words. You have to feed on Jesus every day. His words will nourish you and build you up so that you are strong spiritually. Isaiah 40 talks about they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. It's not just sitting around listening to teachings, teaching CDs. Thank God for teachers. Thank God for, we have the gospel available to us 24/7. We have some excellent teachers that we can glean truth from. Thank God for those things. But, you know, it's not just listening to teaching CDs. It's you taking the time to read your Bible, to spend time communing with your Heavenly Father. There are things that the Spirit of God wants to talk to you about. And if you don't take the time to pray and seek Him and listen to Him, you are going to miss out. You're going to miss nourishment. You're going to miss strengthenings. You're going to miss direction. You're going to miss wisdom if you don't take the time and listen to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will teach you about what Jesus said. Isn't that what Jesus said? He will remind you of all the things I have said. Well, the Spirit of God will teach you about what Jesus said. Give you revelation. Give you understanding. Did you ever read something in the Bible and not understand it? The Holy Spirit will come alongside you and He will teach you, give you understanding, give you revelation, give you a light on that subject. Did you ever read a scripture that you've read 100 times before and all of a sudden, smack, you see something? Wow, why didn't I see that before? Well, that's the Holy Spirit revealing truth to you, giving you revelation of it, giving you illumination about it. You won't get that if you don't talk to Him, if you don't spend time in His presence. Thank God for teachers and CDs and listening, streaming, and all those good things, but you need to spend some time in the book. You need to spend some time in prayer. You need to spend some time listening with your ears. There's no substitute for it. You have to feed yourself spiritually. You have to nourish yourself, feeding on the words of the Master. Many of us, we get so excited about eating physically. We all like it. We all like to eat. We get excited. We talk about recipes. We love walking in the kitchen, smelling the good food, cooking. We love it. We love it. Our day centers around it. What are you making for lunch? What are you making for dinner? I'm going to your house. We love it. We love making cakes and pies and cookies, and we like a good steak. We like lasagna and pasta and sauce and meatballs. And we love fresh bread that's baked in the oven. We love it. We love it. What's that? Time to eat. That's right. We love it. Especially, and some of you ladies, even some of you men, you've perfected it. You've gotten it down. You make it good. I know I've eaten some places. It's good. It's good. You know, and we get excited about that. We prepare our special dishes. Well, spiritually, we should have the same appetite. Spiritually, we should have the same appetite. When you're doing well spiritually, you'll have an appetite for it. I get excited when I can have some time in prayer. When I have time off of my schedule, then I can just, this is my time with God. I get excited about that. Oh, when we can come in and worship God, you can close out the world. Maybe you had a really cruddy week. Maybe you had a long week, frustrations, and you felt grumpy coming in. Well, you can just set that all aside and worship God. And something happens. Something happens when you do that. It just begins to refresh you. It begins to lift off those burdens. It begins to refresh your heart. That's what I'm talking about. We should have an appetite for spiritual things. Your spirit man gets weak when you don't eat. Just like your body gets weak when you don't eat. It's not just hearing the Bible, but rather it must come from faith and grace. That doesn't mean that every sermon has to be taught on faith or grace, but it must be seasoned with faith. Some sermons, some books, some teachings are just opinions. They are political. They are preference. They are fillers. They are someone's attitude, someone's pet peeve that they're griping about. Some books, some teachings, some things are filled with opinions and these kinds of things. And don't just take everything you hear as gospel. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Everything you hear is not gospel. You have to be wise when you hear things. You're supposed to check things out with the Word of God. Check things out with the Spirit of God. Boy, don't overlook that. You're sitting listening to something and something on the inside just starts scratching. That doesn't seem right. That's the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit, telling you that this isn't right. Someone comes up and they say, I have a word from God for you. You're supposed to give me your house. You're supposed to give me your car. And you should do it immediately. Something on the inside. No. But sometimes it's a little more subtle and we swallow it. We take it. Well, you know, that sickness you got, God's trying to make you humble. He's trying to make you like Jesus. Jesus suffered. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Jesus suffered. You'll have to suffer a little bit. No. Right? You have to listen to the Spirit of God. And you also take it to the Word of God. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? My Bible says, by His stripes I have been healed. Have been. It's a finished work of the cross. So we need to take these things and not just swallow them whole. You need to, whatever you're listening to, whatever you're hearing, whatever, sometimes it's just people ranting their opinions or their politics or their preferences. And you have to decipher through that and make sure that it's gospel. Let's look again at Hebrews, the 5th chapter. We read part of this already. It says on verse 11, on whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use, say reason of use. How do they become mature? By reason of use. Have their senses exercised to discern both evil, good and evil. People who are spiritually mature are able to discern between good and evil. When you grow up spiritually, you're able to discern between good and bad. You should be able to distinguish the difference between good food and bad food. I think of when our kids were little. When our kids were little, sometimes they would have they'd be in the crib and they would have a bottle and they would have it in their mouth and drink it, and sometimes they'd throw it, especially the boys. They'd throw it, and perhaps it fell behind the crib or something. And I remember one time that we didn't find it or we didn't know it was thrown, and we went upstairs like a week later, and one of the kids were drinking a bottle. It's like, where did they get that bottle? And it was bad milk, and they were drinking it. And that's my point. Not that we're proud of that, but we are good parents. The point is that kids don't always know the difference between good food and bad food. It's adults that know the difference. If you have a bowl of cereal and you pour out the milk and it comes out in chunks, you know not to eat that. Or at least we hope you do. We'll pray for you. But spiritually, some people are like that. They'll just pick up whatever's on the floor and put it in their mouth just like babies do. Do you ever have babies crawl around on the floor and they find a Cheerio? Oh, lunch. And they put things, they don't know. They don't know the difference. So they just put it all in their mouth. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do. In the natural, unfortunately, many babies have gotten sick or even died because they have eaten something that is poisonous. Those little Tide Pods, on the commercials, they're always talking about locking those things up. We don't use them, but, we don't have babies either. But, the kids don't know the difference. It looks like something yummy. It's bright colored. It's, ooh, yum. But they don't know that it's poisonous. So there are things that can poison you spiritually. There are things that can poison you as well. The enemy either wants to starve you or poison you. And he's committed to doing both. And so we need to recognize these things, that we need to feed ourselves spiritually, and we need to feed ourselves with the right things. Eat good food. Eat good food that lines up with the Word of God. Eat good things that are in agreement with the Spirit of God. Some people will read a book and they're halfway through and they find some junk that there's still some good things in here, and they keep reading. Man, if I find stuff in a book that's wrong, I just put that book down. I'm not filling my heart and mind with stuff that I don't need to hear. I'm not filling my heart and mind of things that are negative or things that'll make me, that are contrary to my faith. I don't want that in me. So we need to make sure that we're developing ourselves spiritually. You need to be able to know that when you hear something or read something, you can distinguish between good and bad. Some things are not good for you. Words are what we feed on spiritually. Words are what we feed on spiritually. And when I say words, really words are containers of thought. You feed on thoughts. Words are containers for thought. So really, we could say that we feed on thoughts. Let me give you an example. If I say the word dog, you don't think D-O-G. You think of a dog, perhaps your dog. You think of a big dog, a small dog, a black dog, a furry dog. You think dog. You don't think in words, you think in thoughts. God's words, the Word of God, contains the thoughts of God. His thoughts, God's thoughts, are spiritual food for your spirit man. God's thoughts. I always get a chuckle when people start arguing about Bible translations. There are certain sects of the body of Christ that like KJV 1611 only. King James Version, 1611, that's when it was translated by King James. They like that one only. Now, it is a very reliable translation. I'm not here to criticize it. They don't want to know the NIV or the New King James or the Amplified or anything else. People argue about which version of the Bible is better to use. Well, to me, it's about educating yourself. That if you know that a particular translation omits some things, you should be aware of that. All of them are translations. All Bibles are translations. The original writings no longer exist. We have scraps and pieces of them from the 4th century and the 1st century. I had the privilege of seeing some of them, but they're only portions and bits and pieces. All Bibles are translations. So I get a chuckle when people start arguing about which one, that they only use this one, they only use this one, they only use this one. Well, if you don't understand the one you're reading, what good is it? A lot of people have trouble with the these and the thous and the those and the Elizabethan English. And they read it and they read it, oh, got through that, oh, good. They didn't get a thing out of it because they're stumbling over the words and the language, and they get nothing out of it. You give it to a teenager and they're, oh, that was hard. To me, it's more important that you understand the thoughts that God is trying to convey. Again, don't be ignorant about the translations, but understanding the thoughts is the real issue. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love, if you don't understand what the Bible's talking about, how are you ever going to apply it to your life? Let's not get hung up with the semantics of this or that or the other thing. Spiritual food, you have to eat it. You have to. It comes to your ears. Whatever you put in your ears and your eyes, you consume it. As you think on it, it gets down into your spirit man. If something is bad, you should reject it. If it doesn't line up with God's word, if it doesn't line up with the Spirit of God, reject it. Don't allow it in your thoughts. In your thoughts. 2 Corinthians talks about this very issue. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says that your thoughts matter. It's so important that you monitor what you hear and what you see. Sometimes when you are not careful or unaware that bad things can, you can just take them in. And much like poison hidden in a food. If I had a beautiful pie here and it looked appealing and it looked wonderful, but in the inside of the pie I sprinkle a little rat poison. You might not see that, you might not taste that, but it looks appealing. We have to be careful. We have to be careful what we're consuming. We want to make sure that we're healthy. You know, it's funny to me. Sometimes people will say, they'll sit down and they eat a plate of steamed vegetables. Glory to God. And they'll eat that whole plate of steamed vegetables. And then the rest of the week, it's potato chips and cake and cookies and candy. And then they say, well, I'm eating healthy. I'm eating healthy. I had steamed vegetables. Well, you know, you're not. You're what the Bible calls self-deceived. You are not eating healthy. One plate of steamed vegetables and junk food the rest of the week, you are not eating healthy. People are like that spiritually. They eat a spiritual meal once a week. And they think that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm spiritual. I go to church. I listen to what pastor said. And the rest of the week, you're feeding your thoughts. You're feeding your mind garbage. You know, there are some things that you should be avoiding. Things on TV, things on the radio, things that you see on the computer. There are some things that you should not be looking at, not be listening to, not partaking of. When you listen to them and look at them, you are partaking. I want you to see that illustration, that when you listen to them and you read them, you are sitting down to the table eating them. That's why I get so annoyed when even the Christian radio starts playing songs that don't line up with the scriptures. Irritates me. I turn it off. Starts to steal my joy. You know, we have to be careful. because those things will indoctrinate us. Those things will become beliefs in us. And then we have to work against ourselves because we have wrong believing. So let me ask you this. How much have you eaten lately? What was the last time you sat down and read your Bible to feed yourself? Feed your spirit man. Not just to get through your chapter, not just to check off your list, but when was the last time you fed yourself? You're going to go home today and you're going to eat a meal. I know you are. I know you are. You might even not wait till you get home. You might stop on the way. You might get something. You feed yourself all the time. Are you feeding your spirit, man? Are you taking the time to make sure that you're preparing something good? You know, some things, if they're cooked properly and they have the right seasoning, they're good. They taste good. But if you get something out of a can and warm it up, it's not so great. And even spiritually, when some people present spiritual truths, the way it's presented can make you not want it. If they're pointing their long finger of judgment at you and they're saying that you're a rotten person because you're not doing the word and they're putting guilt on you and that's not the right way to prepare the word. When we hear the word of God, we should readily receive it. Be glad about it. I don't know about you, but when I hear one of the promises of God, I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm born again. I'm glad that I have the promise of heaven. I'm glad that I'm forgiven. I'm glad that he said he'd meet my needs. I'm glad that he said he'd heal my body. I'm glad that he loves me. I'm glad that he is a good God, that he's for me and not against me. I'm glad about those things. Boy, there's so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. You know, your thoughts are powerful. Your thoughts are powerful, and that's what we're talking about, feeding on your thoughts. Let me give you an illustration. I could begin to describe something. You know, on the way over, there was a dead animal in the middle of the road, and it was bloody and gory. It's one of those possums, you know, just... And the intestines were spilled out, and it was nasty. And there's, you know, and the birds were picking at it, and it probably smelled bad too if you got close to it. Those thoughts of that thing begin to make you feel a certain way. Your thoughts are powerful. Your thoughts are powerful. Now what if I began to explain something else? Think of a loaf of bread piping hot in the oven. The top of it's flaky and there's drizzled some butter on it. You can smell the smell of it. Oh, it's hot and fresh and soft. Oh, it's going to smell, it's going to taste good. What does that do? It begins to make you feel hungry. Give me some of that. I want some of that. Your thoughts are powerful. So your thoughts matter. Your thoughts matter. We feed spiritually on thoughts. So you're going to have to make up your mind to feed yourself spiritually. Make sure that you're thinking the right things. Make sure that your thoughts are in line with the scriptures. Feed yourself spiritually. I encourage you this week just to go and take a time in your week and on purpose eat a spiritual meal. Sit down and read some scripture, and ask the Spirit of God to talk to you about it, and have a meal. You need to start feeding your spirit man. Pay attention to him. Don't starve him out. Feed him. In closing, I want to just take a moment, and let's just pray, and we're going to commit ourselves to spiritual growth and feeding ourselves spiritually. When you think of the Word of God, you'll begin to wax strong in the Lord, and your spirit man will be strengthened. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can hear your Word, that we can be doers of your Word. Father, we desire to grow spiritually. We desire to develop our spiritual man. We desire to know the difference between good and bad. Father, help us to grow spiritually. Help us to feed ourselves spiritually. Help us to look at and choose the right foods. Lord, forgive us for being careless. forgive us for allowing any old thing to satisfy us. Lord, we purpose to fill our ears and our eyes with your words, with your thoughts. When we hear or see something, we'll listen. We'll take it to the Word to see if it's in line with your thoughts. Lord, help us. Help us to grow spiritually and become mature and strong. Help us to develop ourselves spiritually. Lord, it's your plan, it's your will that we develop and grow spiritually. Oh, that we could go, that we can turn and help other people. God, we thank you that you're working in us. You're showing us truth. You're revealing things to us, helping us to move away from the things of our childhood and growing up spiritually, developing ourselves. Father, we thank you. We thank you for growth. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to nourish ourselves in the words of faith. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God bless you.